Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm moderating today, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, March 15th, 2024, and we're reading in the Big Book. We're in Bill's story, page 9. We're in that fifth paragraph, starting with, I was aghast, and it ends with, besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. Today's readers. So for the steps, we have Julie G. For the traditions, we have Tenzin P. Reading the text is Amory M. Page 164 is Judith S.P. Backing us up today is Susan S.H. Newcomer greeters, Krista F. Second hour host is Colleen M. And announcements is Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, March 14th, 2024. 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,225. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,226. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. Welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. We got a vision for you, Big Book Study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. So now I ask Julie G., to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. This is Julie G. in Pennsylvania. I'm a compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Julie. Appreciate it. Next up is Tenzin P. with the traditions.
Oh, Russ, did you call me?
Yep, you are.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was unmuting. Okay, good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in group in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 9 in Bill's story, that fifth paragraph starting with I was aghast, ending with, besides, my gin will last longer than his preaching. And I asked Anne-Marie M is going to start us off today.
Thank you, Russ, and good morning, everyone. My name is Anne-Marie M., living in South Carolina. I am recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I say that last part because, yes, God graced me, and he took the obsession to compulsively overeat away. And also, I had to do work the steps found in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's what worked for me, and so that's what I pass on. I was aghast. So that was it. Last summer, an alcoholic crackpot. Now I suspected a little cracked about religion. He had that starry eye and look. Yes, the old boy was on fire, all right. But bless his heart, let him rant. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. So sorry about that. I forgot I was reading the paragraph. I started sharing. So anyway, so I'm Anne-Marie, recovered compulsive overeater. So, you know, I'm just picturing Bill sitting there at the table, probably hungover, you know, half-dressed, probably unshaved, hair a mess, reeking of alcohol. And sitting across from him was Ebbie Thatcher, his friend, who was probably in a suit, clean-shaved, hair combed, maybe some aftershave on, looking great, having a starry-eyed look in his eye. And Bill is judging him and saying, boy, last summer he was a crackpot. Now I guess he's a little cracked about religion, you know. And, yeah, I'll let him talk. But you know what? I'm just going to keep drinking. I remember thinking about when someone would, when, and I was so much into the food and so not knowing how to get out of it, and talking with people who were recovered and had a peaceful life, it sounded like it, you know, on the phone, and then even meeting people at the conventions and seeing them, you know, with that starry-eyed look in their face and looking like, they, you know, they've got their eye all together and, you know, their life all together, and thinking to myself, well, you know, I don't need to give up diet soda because, you know, I can handle it, or I'm not going to be rigid like they are, like weighing and measuring my food. I'm not going to, you know, I don't need to do that. So it just reminded me of how judgmental I was of other people and being in such a bad state, but yet being judgmental of others, of how they run, how they work their program. And that, you know, I don't need to do that. So I guess that's all I have to say on this, Russ. I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. All right, so we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And you all know the drill. Although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday on any meeting this week, please step back, allow others to share. If you, I know it's hard, but it'd be great one at a time if you could hit me one at a time. Have at it. Who wants to share on this?
Katie D.
Janet B.
Linda D.
Katie G. Janet.
Linda D.
Linda.
Leslie W.
Who else?
Susan
S.H. Leslie. Susan.
Thank
you. Come on. Who's
and
that?
Then I see.
Nana.
Kim A.
Kim.
Justine.
One more time. Sorry about that.
Justine F.
I think that was Shanna, I think. Let's see if my ears are good. Anyone else? Because we're cooking here now. Doing well.
Shannon
right.
C.
Okay, yeah. All right, we got it. I think we got a pretty good list for the first round. Katie G. Katie G. Janet B. Linda D. Leslie W. Susan S. H. Elena C. Kim A. Justine F. And Shannon C. Katie G. in the place to be. Let's go. You're up.
Morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. This
Good
is
morning.
KG. I'm yeah. recovered. I'm Boston. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Loud and clear.
You got me. Sorry to ask that horrible question. Anyway, good morning, everyone. This is KG, recovered in Boston. I love this. You know, I have heard it said that we leave Overeaters Anonymous one judgment at a time. And I love this. I mean, I remember my first OA meeting 20 years ago. It was in Boston. In Medford, and if you are from this area, you know that Medford was like the big meeting. It was the Mecca, and I went in, and there were all these thin people, and they were all saying, thank you, God, and I was like, this is crazy, and I wanted to get out of there so fast, and I love that he's judging someone who is offering a solution, right, and smells good and has showered. And, you know, I was the same way. I was like, how could they be such zealots? How could they join like a cult? I had all of these prejudices. I was so threatened by people who had a solution. It was the same thing when I heard, you know, put down your alcoholic ingredients. And I remember, and she's on this line, I'm sure, there, one of my heroes said, put down exercise for 30 days. You think you don't have a problem with it? And I was like, that is crazy. She put down exercise for 30 days. Clearly, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And here I am binging, you know, on exercise bulimia. Or everybody who said that Zoom was a bad idea, I was like, yeah, me too. And it just shows me, like, what is my biggest problem? It's my thinking, right? And God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know about myself, about the world, about everything people say. Because the thing is, I'm wrong. Like 99.9% of the time, I'm wrong. Those women 20 years ago saved my life. this Vision for You meeting, which when I first heard recovered, I was like, they are not recovered. They are always recovering. And like so many preconceived ideas. There they are living a life free from the bondage of food. And here I am binging my brains out, getting on the scale, dying from anorexia and bulimia. And yet I think I'm better than them. And you guys had my answer. And thanks be to God that God like hits me over the head with a 2x4 because my ideas don't work. You know, food is not my problem. What's so interesting is it says selfishness, self-centeredness, that is the root of my trouble. Yes, I have to put the food down. I have to have an entire abstinence, no flour for me, no sugar for me, no binging on the scale, no binging on bulimia. Got to watch those alcoholic addictive food behaviors, right? That puts the food in its place. And the bigger part of my disease is my prejudice. And can I set it aside today? As a recovered woman, if I don't like something I'm hearing, can I ask God to help me set it aside? Can I be open-minded that perhaps God, the ruler of the universe, has a better idea than me? I hope I can. And I'm going to keep coming. Thanks.
Thanks, Katie. Next up is Janet B. Followed by Linda Day.
Hi, good morning. It's Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So the first line of this paragraph still says, I was aghast, like shocked, like what the heck is going on here, just because his friend said, I've got religion. And I'm sure Abby kind of anticipated that that's how Bill would react, that if he just basically, and when he said religion, I don't think he was talking about churches, synagogues, mosques, or anything like that, because a couple pages later, the way he described it is just, God has done for me what I could not do for myself. So that's what he came to bring to Bill, that I couldn't stop drinking until God came into my life and did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And he didn't care that Bill might be aghast. He didn't say, oh, let me kind of sugarcoat it and say, well, you know, first I decided to go to a meeting and then I took a sponsor. I know there were sponsors then, but y'all get my example. He just came straight out and said the solution is God. And he did not care what Bill's reaction was because that's all we have to offer. You know, my first 6.5 years in Overeaters Anonymous, that is not what was offered to me. What was offered to me was food plans and lovely women who took my food plan every day and then heard me say the next day that I couldn't stick to it and saw me at meetings saying I can't stick to my food plan because the solution isn't meeting food plans. Yeah, those are kind of structure that are helpful, but without God, it is nothing. So Ebby didn't care that Bill was gassed because that's what we have to offer someone. And look why he was able to offer that. He had that starry-eyed look. He looked different. He was a caterpillar, and now he was a butterfly. Because God isn't just in the make it a little better, put a Band-Aid over it business. God is in the transformation business. And he saw that his friend was transformed, and that is all that Ebby had to bring him. That is all really that we have to bring another compulsive eater, that God is still in the transformation business, in the miracle business, and can do for us what we can't do for ourselves, which is to enable the food to be put down. Only God could do that. With that, I pass. Thanks.
All right, Janet, thanks a lot. Excuse me. Linda D is up next, followed by Leslie W.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Linda D, and I'm from Connecticut, and I'm so glad to be back at this meeting. I've had a health crisis for 4 months, and it scared the living daylights out of me. So thank you for being there for me. Thank you, God, for being there for me. This program, it shot the life out of me. The first meeting I walked into, I was looking for the fat people. And there were some people who were overweight, and there were people who looked absolutely healthy and normal. It was very confusing, and I ended up crying after the meeting because I was so relieved. I found a place where I belong. They talked my language. Anything they said about religion, I just skipped over because I had, as was said before me, I had so many blocked ideas about myself and about life, and especially about God. And as was said before me, this is a program that saved my life because God is really, really, really real. The most amazing fact or experience in my life is my intimate relationship with God, and it's very bolstered by you. I am so grateful to have this marvelous, healthy meeting and to be here at long last. I thank you so much for saving my life. I pass.
Thanks, Linda. Appreciate it. Next up is Leslie W., followed by Susan S.H.
Hey, Russ. Thank you so much. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. This paragraph reminds me of how I behave with people sometimes. And, you know, it's no wonder that he behaves this way. I mean, when you think about it, we have been given advice all of our lives about food, about what to do, you know. And people tell me, people just give advice. You know, a lot of times when you are in a situation that is difficult to deal with, people want to help. People want to help. People want to say something, to do something, right? And no one can truly understand our suffering the way another compulsive overeater can. And Abby was able to reach Bill eventually. Maybe it took a minute. It takes a minute, right? Because we have been put through it. We've been put to the ringer, and so I don't trust easily. And so it's natural for us to be cynical. But again, when someone is looking at us and their face is bright and shiny and they have peace and contentment in their lives despite their circumstances, that's a reason for me to pay attention to what they have to say. And even though I may be cynical at first, which is not in my nature, however, certain circumstances have certain circumstances in life sometimes make us that way, or have the tendency to become that way when we've suffered. And Bill suffered, and Abby's offering them the solution. And sometimes I just have to get out of my own way and listen to whatever it is that the person is across from me, sitting there saying to me, and choose to believe. Choose to believe is a choice. I have to choose. I have to choose to be open-minded. I have to choose to listen. I have to choose to trust. With that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Leslie. All right, before Susan jumps on, let me let you know where we're at if you got on the meeting a little later. We're in Bill's story, page 9, the fifth paragraph, I was aghast, and ending with, besides, my gin will last longer than his preaching. All right, Susan, you're up.
Thank you. This is Susan S.H., recovered compulsive overeater in Aldridge County, Ohio, after the storms last night. I looked up aghast, struck with terror, amazement, or horror, shocked and upset. I believe I see Bill's prejudice here, but really more accurately, I see my own prejudice, which I had to let go of to let any sort of a higher power in. It was a process, and the process was working the 12 steps abstinently with guidance from a caring sponsor who had treaded this same path. That's the depth and weight, and that's the depth and weight that Bill saw in Ebby. He knew Ebby knew the drinking game. I did bristle at every mention of God. In the year and a half that I went to meetings but didn't get anywhere, I bristled a lot. That was me. That was my prejudice, and that held me back and packed on another 20 pounds in that year and a half. That's where I started. My disease continued to beat me down. But Bill, after his initial shock, looked at how, well, he's safe because he has enough gin to sail through the sermon. Yeah, also me. A sermon, or also me, my thoughts and disease were constantly on self-satisfaction of my addiction. If I had enough, which means too much food, then I would be okay. And I really had to put down my prejudice. And I had to open. I had to open to the possibility that there might be help for me. When I saw all the recovery, heard all the recovery on this meeting, and found a sponsor who I could identify with depth and weight, it opened a door. It opened a door. And I had to step out in faith. The more we read Bill's story, I started out not identifying with Bill's story, but the more we read Bill's story, the more I can identify and grateful for our meeting that looks at each paragraph from all angles and helps me to learn and grow. After all, more will be revealed if I keep that open mind, stay as honest as I possibly can be, and stay willing to learn more. So grateful to be here and grateful for what we have here. That's it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan. Next up is Elena C., followed by Kim A.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C., Greenville, South Carolina. So, from this point on, we're going to hear and witness Bill W.'s transformation, because until now, we heard his regression, the regression of his disease. And so his transformation starts with this contact with Ebby. Ebby belonged to the Oxford group, was a Christian group, which is why he got religion. Now, here he comes to an agnostic, Bill W. To my knowledge, he was an agnostic. Of course he's going to say, no way, Jose. So, you know, and for me, well, I hear in this paragraph, Bill's denial, Bill's resistance, you know, Bill's judgment. And denial is the first stage of grief. I have been grieving my old way. I have been grieving the diet. I have been grieving, you know, my triggering foods. And denial is needed, because otherwise I would have experienced the grief profoundly. And so, you know, anyway, so Bill W. is hearing it. And from this point on, we're going to hear his transformation, the breaking through of his denial, surrendering. You know, and it saddens for me that to this day, I do meet people who have prejudices against this big book. And I have no problem sharing with my clients today that I am a compulsive overeater. And then share experience, strength, and hope. I did meet with someone yesterday, you know, and just hearing her story and sharing my story, I could see that she kind of heard it, and you know, she also was amazed by history of AA and Bill W. and, you know, starting with Carl Jung. And she liked that. And I heard, I learned so much from hearing the history. Now what I need to do, let her go, for goodness gracious. You know, let her go. It's going to be her journey. And my letting go is going to help her find her suffering, the gift of desperation. And maybe or maybe not, she will find her way through this amazing spiritual healing. And I am so grateful that I could do that. You know, Bill W. was fortunate. I was fortunate. I followed your guidance. But sometimes people are not. And people died of this disease every day. You know, and the process of surrender.
Time.
Okay. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elaine. Appreciate it. Next up is Kim A., followed by Justine F. Star one, Kim.
Hi, this is Kim. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Yep.
Sorry.
Hey, good morning. It's Kim A. from New York City. And this passage, especially like the word aghast, is a perfect example of why we're given such explicit directions later on in the book of how to carry the message. You know, they spend four whole chapters starting with the doctor's opinion to explain our illness because it's so much more complicated than we think. And even more chapters than that, five chapters to teach us how to carry the message, right? I think it's five chapters. And so, you know, Ebby had found religion because he came in through the Oxford group and they were Christians. And, you know, we're told specifically that talking about spirituality, like when we first approach somebody, is they compare it to leading with the chin, right? Because we don't want to turn anybody off. We don't want to prejudice anybody. You know, how many times have we or I been approached by somebody who had a great solution, but I didn't want to hear it. I either wasn't ready or it wasn't the right solution for me or I didn't like the way it was presented to me. So it's really important, you know, for our 12-step work that we approach newcomers in a particular way, right? We don't talk about, I mean, we don't talk about religion, but we don't talk about God. We don't talk about spirituality. And, you know, I know for me, I've had to kind of, I've evolved the way I share. Even on meetings, you know, it's really easy for us to talk about what works for us in a way that, like, we're excited, right? Because we finally found this solution. But there's no one right way that works for everybody. And I'm on plenty of meetings that, you know, people talk about food plan and alcoholic foods and avoiding foods and ingredients as if that's the only way to recover. And it's not, because that didn't work for me. So, you know, this is kind of a great way for us to, you know, remind ourselves, like, hey, we have to really be conscious of the way in which we share or the way in which we carry our message to newcomers. You know, lucky for us, Bill was able to look past all that religion stuff because it was his friend that I think he grew up with, but his friend that he knew drank just like he did, and he was able to get around that religion stuff and see past it. But it's really easy for us to turn people off if, you know, we're talking about spirituality before it's time. You know, so when I'm doing 12-step work, I always just ask my higher power, like, help me just show up and kind of talk about how I think, and, you know, that way they can relate to me. And if they're more interested, I can tell them more. All right, thanks. I'll pass. Kim A. from New York City.
Thanks, Kim. Next up is Justine F., followed by Shanna C.
Hi, this is Justine F. I'm in New York instead of Oregon. Now I'm back in New York. It's really nice to be here and be here at the meeting. And I love this scene where Bill is messed up and Eddie comes to talk to him. And I just love that, you know, in the disease, I love this example of how in the disease and how what is good looks bad and whatever, the kind of opposite of it. And it reminds me of that saying, like, it only an addict can be in the gutter judging everybody walking up on the sidewalk. Like, only we, you know, can be in the gutter and judging others. And also it's so powerful because, you know, because Bill's already been given a death sentence. They've already said, you know, this is it for you. You're going to die or wind up in the asylum. And still, you know, there he is. I mean, it's baffling, and it's powerful, and it's very humbling to know, to identify with this and know I have this thing. And I have this thing that lies to me in my head and will kill me left untreated. Makes me extra grateful, I guess, you know, extra grateful to have this recovery, to have this solution and to have this meeting and all the things that we have. But, you know, when I've been very sick, very hard to hear the solution sometimes as the solution because of how sick I've been. And that open-mindedness, you know, if anybody's in that kind of spot, that open-mindedness, you know, open-mindedness can look like taking the action that a sponsor suggests, even though it seems weird or unrelated. You know, that's the funny thing about what sponsors give us to do. It's related to my problems. But actually, it's very, very relevant. So I guess that's all I have to offer. I want to be saying thank you very much to this meeting. Thank you. Thanks, Russ.
All right, Justine. Appreciate it. Next up is Shanna C., and then we'll take another list.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks, Russ, for leading the meeting and everyone who's read and everyone's service this morning and all the people that have put this meeting together to give people a place to come to find a solution to their problems. So grateful that Abby had the courage to show up and see Bill that day. So grateful that Bill, for whatever reason, opened his door to him and sat down, regardless of the fact that he had selfish intentions, how he wanted to, you know, recount the memories of the past. He wanted to, you know, a few paragraphs ahead of that, wanted to drink openly with him because, you know, that's how I am. You know, I want to be left to my own devices. I want connection with people, whether I'm in, you know, recovered state or whether I'm not. My heart of hearts, I want connection, whether it be through, you know, the use of a substance with another person or, you know, living in the solution and sharing experience, strength, and hope with each other. It's in my nature is to do that. Thankful that the pain of the disease brought me to my knees to where I saw it didn't work anymore. And what I see in this paragraph is Bill, you know, holding on that last hope that somehow, someday he's normal, somehow, someday he can control and enjoy and just not be alone in this misery. And, you know, I believe, for me, I believe that there may have been something bigger than him that saw and heard the cries of his heart. And then Abby showed up to answer that longing that Bill had. But what's interesting is right there, that last sentence there, it said, I suspected a little cracked about religion. He had that starry-eyed look. Yes, the old boy was on fire, all right, but bless his heart, let him rant. This was his solution in his mind. Besides, my gin would last longer than his preaching. So in other words, for me, whatever substance it is, behavior it is I have, you know, that selfishness, self-centeredness, as long as I've got that solution right there, I can tolerate anything, right? So food, the behaviors, all of that stuff isn't my problem so much as it is my solution. It's the medicine that enables me to get through difficult situations until it stops working. And so what the other thing that jumped out to me was that I thought was really cool was, you know, even though Ebby didn't do it perfectly, even though the way people carry the message or whatever has evolved according to different people, the rightness and wrongness of it, the fact is he showed up and he was willing to pass it on. He tried to carry a message. And one of the things that came that when I got recovered and began living in 10, 11, and 12, I asked my sponsor, oh, my God, I'm at weight maintenance now. I'm so scared of losing it. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? How do I maintain this, whatever. Again, the mind automatically goes to, okay, I got to go back and manage the food. He goes, no, you just carry the message. Just show up, carry the message. And just share what you
all
have.
All right. Time.
Yes. And that's a great stopping point. Thanks, Russ. And I hope everyone has a great weekend.
Thanks, Shannon. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to open up for Sharon again. We are on Bill's story, page 9, that fifth paragraph. And if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Who would like to share? I think we have about time for 4 or 5.
Laura W.
from New York.
So I got somebody from New York and Laura W.
Patty, same name.
So I think it's Patty. I didn't get the first in the show, your last name. We'll get it when you come up. So Patty, Laura.
Kathy C.
Kathy. And then one more, and then we'll go from there.
Yvonne H.
Yvonne H. Okay. Patty, Laura, Kathy, and Yvonne. All right, Patty.
Hi, good morning. This is Patty T. from New York, a compulsive overeater, new to this program. I loved hearing that part read, and I loved reading it. And both times what jumped out at me was, but bless his heart, let him rant. Bill is offering a blessing to Ebby, asking God to look favorably on his friend. And even though it seems like it's from a patronizing perspective, for me, it God is in the problem and God is in the solution. He decides who hears the message, and if we seek him, we'll find him. I love that, in this passage, Ebby is walking the talk and he wants to share this practical program of action with his friend. So if it worked for Ebby, it will work for Bill if he's willing, and it'll work for me if I'm willing to work with the help of others and, of course, God first. So just for me, I remember that what's impossible for man is possible for God, and I just have to trust, surrender, and hold on tight. So thank you for letting me have my first chair on this meeting, and I will now pass back to the moderator.
All right, Patty, thank you. Next up is Laura W. I believe that's who it was. Star one, Laura.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Laura W. from Maine, and great meeting. And I wanted to share that when Bill was aghast, that in reading the books on the old-timers, that Bill and Ebby were really lifelong friends. And they did a lot of binge drinking together. And I'm pretty sure that Ebby is the one that Bill had the 5-day spree with, where they took an airplane ride and they landed. And that was a huge embarrassment. And, they ended up landing this airplane in Bill's hometown in Vermont. And there was a whole big reception because it was the very first airplane landing in their town. And they were so inebriated together that they just like fell out of the airplane and passed out. And, anyways, that's my understanding of that story. So when Bill was sitting across the table from Ebby, I mean, aghast, because Bill really got it how bad off his friend was. And Bill really gets it how bad off he is. And And so I could really relate to, like, an Ebby, he said what he needed to say and he left, but it was haunting Bill. It haunted Bill. And that his friend, who he knew, could not take a sip of alcohol at all. You know, I mean, could not take a sip, is now, like, is able to not drink. So I just wanted to share that, and that was kind of my experience. Even 8 months ago, I could not eat. I just couldn't not eat, and I had hit such a deep, black, dark bottom. But I came into a room where there were all these faces of people who were like happy and cheerful, just like Ebby. And I just knew, and they talked about a solution, and it required a lot of structure. And I knew in that moment I wasn't going to eat. I don't know how it happened. There must have been a defeat and a readiness, but something happened just being with these people, seeing their faces, hearing the stories, and having a solution. I just knew I wasn't going to eat, and that was almost a year and a half ago. In another 9 days, it'll be a year and a half ago, and I'm just so grateful to be out of the food, and not only that, but to actually have a solution. And working, and that God and the 12 steps is my solution today. And really seeing that. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, next up is Kathy C.
Good morning. My name is Kathy C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. Thank you, everyone, for your service and your shares. Oh, man, I remember as well coming into the rooms and, you know, they presented the steps and they were talking about God. And then I was like, wow, really? Like, let's get to the food part. Let's get to the, just tell me, you know, how am I supposed to eat and to get rid of this, you know, insatiable urge to always compulsively eat. And that wasn't really presented to me. So I stayed away from those meetings, and I went to other ones where they just had discussion meetings, because I thought, maybe you all need that, right? And here I was, you know, had all these ideas that I knew what I needed, and it was all about the body, all about the weight, all about, you know, willpower. Show me how I can moderate and be happy. Well, that never happened until I went back to the rooms where they spoke Big Book, and this vision meeting was presented to me from the very beginning, you know, a week into a program. But I didn't apply what you all were saying, right? Get abstinent, work the steps. I really just wanted a quick fix. Again, you know, I had no idea what I was, you know, suffering from. I had no idea I needed a transformation. I had no idea I didn't have God. I knew I was missing something. I just didn't know what and how to get there. And then, just like Bill, you know, the regret when he found himself in that bitter morass of self-pity, you know, that's when I felt, oh my gosh, I need to be willing and open to this. And then my ears did open. My heart did open. I was able to follow a plan of eating, you know, abstinent. I had to abstain from those foods that kept me into the allergy. I didn't want to accept that either. And then I started to just talk to this higher power. I befriended this higher power, and I started to build a relationship with power. But somebody had to first present to me the truth right away from the get-go. And this is what I try to as well. I always say, I have a higher power now. Well, and then how did you get there? And then we start. So I don't want to save their feelings. I really just want to save their life, because it's possible. It's available to all of us. And I don't preach. I just share what happened to me and how it is today. And yeah, that's all I have. I pass. Thank you.
All right, Kat. Thank you. Next up is Yvonne H. Star one, Yvonne.
Hi, good morning. Sorry I couldn't hear you because I was unmuting. So good morning, everybody. Thank you for all your shares. Wow, I'm happy to be here. When I see this picture of Bill Wilson and being his friend, like all dressed up and nice and clean and everything. But he said, I think he liked that. I think that was already working in him. God was already there. But he was still stubborn. He was still like, oh, this is not for me, somehow. And that is what reminds me. I remember from my time when I started with the 12 steps, which was not OA, but AA, and a little later OA. There were many things which were not for me. I was stubborn, I was judging, was judgmental, and I certainly didn't have God, not the way I have it today. And there was one thing, I've never had a sponsor in OA. I had my sponsor in AA. I've been in the 12 steps very, very, very long, and I have my very, very nice sponsor in ACA, which is my main program. But I need the help of OA, so I've never had a sponsor in OA. But that was okay. But then came the moment where I realized, okay, I'm being abstinent, nice. I feel much freer than I used to, but I'm not losing weight. I need to lose weight. That was the moment where I started thinking, how honest am I? I got this question by one of the fellows from OA. And this happened this week. And I asked myself, how honest are you? And that's my topic now. That's where I am now. I am a recovering overeater. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, compulsive binger. I don't binge anymore, just for today, thanks to the grace of God. But how honest am I with my food plan? How honest and how stubborn am I still? So this was an opening for me. This was an eye-opening for me this week. And that's okay, because I grow my whole life. And I'm so grateful and happy for OA that I am where I am. Because 1 year ago, it was different. I couldn't live without binging. Time. Thank you so much. I'll wrap up. So from not being able to live without binging to go to have an abstinence is a lot. And now I will see how honest I can be. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thanks, Yvonne. We have time for a minute and a half share if anybody wants it.
Janice P.M., good morning.
All right, Jan, you're in.
Please time me, okay, my dear. Russ, thank you, everyone. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a recovered, grateful, compulsive overeater. This paragraph teaches me so many lessons. One, the biggest lesson is, you know, that Bill was attractive. I mean, Ebby was so attractive to Bill because, you know, he was his drinking buddy, just like my eating buddies. But they look so different. This is what he was so curious about. You know, Ebby was bringing a solution. He wasn't trying to convince Bill. He wasn't preaching. He was just giving him his experience. And that was my experience in 1982 around Thanksgiving. I went to my first OA meeting, and I saw this beautiful woman. She wasn't just beautiful and physical and looked beautiful with her white hair. She had something in her eyes. She was talking about how she was calm and how she had a power that helped her with her addictive son. And boy, did I relate to her right away. It wasn't just the physical. It was her, you know, her attitude. And, you know, that's what God does for me and us. He uses others to give to others, not to keep for myself. This gift that I'm given is not just for me, you know. It's for me to give it to you if you're ready. If you're not ready, in God's time, you will get it. So this is an opportunity. Hope. Hope, hope, hope. Thank you, my dear Russ. Pat?
Thanks, Jan. Appreciate it. Your last share, we thank everyone who shared, and we ask those who didn't get a chance to share, stick around for the second unrecorded hour study immediately following closing. So today's share ID, Friday, March 15th, 2024, to 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,228. 21228. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. And followed by Serenity Prayer. So, Judith S.P., could you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Ross, and thank you, everybody. My name is Judith S.P., great word for today. Thank you, God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.